Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, and this is from the Common English Bible. The promise to Abraham and to his descendants that he would inherit the world didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. If they inherit because of the law, then faith has no effect and the promise has been canceled. The law brings about wrath, but when there isn't any law, there isn't any violation of the law. That's why the inheritance comes through faith, so that it will be on the basis of God's grace. In that way, the promise is secure for all of Abraham's descendants, not just for those who are related by law, but also for those who are related by the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have appointed you to be the father of many nations. So Abraham is our father in the eyes of God, in whom he had faith, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that don't exist into existence. When it was beyond hope, he had faith in the hope that he would become the father of many nations, in keeping with the promise God spoke to him. That's how many descendants you will have. Without losing faith, Abraham, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, which was dead. He didn't hesitate with the lack of faith in God's promise, but he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. But the scriptures that says it was credited to him wasn't written only for Abraham's sake. It was written also for our sake, because it is going to be credited to us too. It will be credited to those of us who have faith in the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over because of our mistakes, and he was raised to meet the requirements of righteousness for us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Pastor Harold Long. If you're listening online, we're glad you're with us. If you're watching online, amen. And glad everybody's here this morning. If you reach into your bulletin, there's a lesson plan in there. If you're watching online, you can go to our website and you can print that off and look at it, download it, use it. I encourage you to use it to follow along with the message today. It will help you, I can promise you, and help keep the message alive for us as we go through today's message. We get to say amen after that video. And if you're going through a season of life where you feel like you're wore out or you're exhausted or time has passed you by, that lie in your head starts to tell you that you're used up, worthless, and there's nothing left for you to do, which is a lie in itself. And that whole idea of not letting that old self in, that old idea in, is a powerful lesson for all of us to remember, because it's easy when you physically get tired to give up. It's hard to do good when you don't feel good. And so hopefully that video gave you some inspiration that you just keep pressing on and do the best you can. But our scripture ties right into that today. And the context, so we're going through this message series called Romans, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. And today's message is titled, Don't Let the Old Self In, because this is what Paul's been saying for four chapters. He's trying to make it really clear to this audience, the Jews and the Gentiles, that this kingdom life, this Jesus-centered life is available to everybody. It's not just for the Jews, and it's not just for the Gentiles. It's available to everybody. And it's a reminder, because this context that he's talking about, these people grew up in a very legalistic system that really believed, since they were the lineage of Abraham, since they were circumcised, since they were under the law, that all this is what made them right with God. And Paul has really been trying to unpack that for several chapters here to say that's not the case. You need to really get that into your head. Next week, we're going to segue into chapter 5. Romans 5 through 8 are probably three of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. It is the heartbeat, you know, and it is the meat on the bone, if you want to say that, in the entire New Testament, which Paul wrote 2/3 of it. So we're really going to dive into 5-3. I get excited about it because it's really what led to a lot of change in my life. And I encourage you to get excited about it. But we wanted to go through the entire book of Romans. And so you can't shortchange the first four, even though some of it's repetitive. But the message is clear. And this is the message. If you're following along, you are part of God's family, no more nor less than Abraham. And it's just really, I think, important to understand that. And how is that relevant in the 21st century? Well, how it's relevant today is that you can still get caught in legalism. You can still get caught in this idea that because I broke a lot of hearts, because I burned a lot of bridges, because I got a lot of regrets, because I got a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas in my life, that somehow or another there's something else I need to do to get right with God. Doesn't mean you don't have some work to do to get right with your fellow human beings in your life and your family if you've got unfinished business. But when it comes to God, you were made right with God the moment you exercised your faith and repented from your old way of life. And there's nothing else you're going to do from now on to ever get God to love you any more than he already does. Amen? That is the message. And that's an important message to really hang on to. It doesn't mean that if you got amends to make and reconciliation to make with the people in your life, you need to go make those things. But when it comes to God, you're right because of the cross, because of Jesus. And that's why Jesus is a big deal. And that's why living a Jesus-centered life is a big deal. When we look at the life of Abraham, we discover that God made many promises, friends, to Abraham, and God kept all of his promises. And we can hang on to those promises. We can lean into that scripture and really bring it forward because as we were listening to that song, if you're listening online, the song we were listening to is a song by Toby Keith called Don't Let the Old Man In, which was written after a golf outing he had with Clint Eastwood at age 88. Clint was at the time. He's in his 90s now. But he was going on to make a movie, and Keith was inspired by his perseverance and the fact that he's 88 and he's still making movies and still getting excited about life and still trying to make a difference. That inspiration came home and allowed him to write the song, which Clint agreed to make part of the movie, which is the movie's called The Mule, if you've never seen that movie. That's where this all comes back to. But Abraham had the same challenges. He believed the old man that his body was wore out. He's never going to be a father. And God promised that he would, that his wife would bear a child on down the line. Of course, we know those stories. We're not going to unpack those this morning. We've been through those in earlier chapters of Romans. But God keeps his promises. And we can hang on to that too, that God's promises always materialize. But sometimes we have to participate in the promise. So God will move mountains for us, but he's going to ask us to bring a shovel. Right? And not just to lean on it, but to actually do something sometimes in our life. Part of that reconciliation is that we need to go back and face the music if we owe people things, an apology, if we owe money, if we owe we were neglectful, we were just never a part of their life. You know, there's that part of our reconciliation process that we have something we can participate in. But as far as the inheritance of eternal life and to have victory over the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that plague us in our life, we can have those things, and that's an awesome promise. Paul reminding his audience, and he's reminding us today, that these believers, that the law could not save them. The 613 laws in the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, in the Torah, the first five books, that these laws, you can't keep them anyway, but even if you could, they're not going to save you. They're not going to save your life. Nor are your works. You can't work yourself into favor with God. The law was only to show them their sin and actually magnify it. And we'll get to that later in the book of Romans. We'll talk about that even more. But the law did not show them Jesus. The law showed them that they were sinners and they needed a Savior. That's what one of the main purposes of the law was. And it's still the purpose of it today if we study it. God saves us by Christ's righteousness, by his love, by his mercy, by his grace. And friends, it's a great blessing to know that our future is certain. It's a great blessing to know that our future is not only certain, but it's to know that while we are not in control, that God is. That God always has been, always is, and always will be in control of what's going on. And even in all this chaos. And this is where it gets confusing. Well, if God's in all control, then how come Ukraine? How come these shootings? How come all this crazy weather and all the heartache going on around the country? Well, those are fair questions to ask. But a better question to ask is, if you're going to ask those questions, is then why did Jesus have to die? Why did an innocent person who never sinned or ever did anything wrong, why did that person have to die? Well, that was to make us right with God. That's why he had to die. And of course, he gave up his life so we could be right with God. And all those who put their faith in Christ, you know, will not only have eternal life, but they can have victory over the heartaches that and the sin that happens in our life here on earth. And that's a huge promise. If you're living a Jesus-centered life, the old self has been eradicated. And it's really important to know that. That when you turn your will and life over to the care of God, that and you stay close to God and you perform God's work well and you walk shoulder to shoulder with God and other people, this kingdom family that you're with, and allow them to help you recreate your life, that you're going to be reborn. You're going to take on a new experience, a new attitude, the way you look at life, the lens you look at life through, how you see things, how you treat people, how you feel inside. Over time, that gets eradicated. And that's a process. That's spiritual maturity. That's spiritual growth that happens. And that old self dies. It doesn't go away easy. It doesn't go away quietly, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it goes away. And we can have victory over this stuff. And we can get reborn and we live this new life. And what an amazing life it is. You know, for the last 35 plus years, my life has been totally, you know, on this plane. And then old self, even though it rears its ugly head from time to time and tries to, you know, instigate and put itself in my life, you know, I have tools today to keep that at bay. But it's really important. And if your life looks just like everybody else you see, then you may want to ask yourself, has the old self really been eradicated out of your life? You may have said yes to Jesus, but did you exercise your faith? Did you exercise repentance? Have you turned? Have you reconciled? And if you haven't done that work, then that's what you need to start with. But this old self should be eradicated. It's part of the gospel. And know that the old self's not going to go away quietly. We talked last week about, or Mother's Day weekend, we talked about the soul being made up of three parts, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And this is where the principalities and powers, the dark side, the spiritual warfare, whatever you want to call it, attacks us. It's in our soul. It's in our mind. It's in our being. And it's just where the old self, as this physical chassis, our bodies get old and they age. You know, this is where the temptation for that old man, as the song related to, or that old self, can start to pound on your door and say it's over. You know, it wants to come in and put a close sign on your door. It wants to flash, you're out of business. You know, it's too late. Time is done. Father time is not on your side anymore. And that delusion, that lie, I think we have to smash. And I think that's what the video did a great job of showing what that can look like. If you live long enough, you will get ill. Your body will age, but your spirit lives forever. Really important to know that. None of us are going to get out alive here. And all of us will pass away at different stages of life, different ages of life, some by accident, some by illness, some by natural causes. But we're all going to go be with Jesus. But during that process, if we live long enough, the big pillars of life, and there's some of them right there on that screen, illness, aging, are going to cause us problems. And not just our own personal experience, but the people we love. The people we love will get ill. The people we love will age. And they will, you know, have to put up with the challenges that illness and aging give us all. But with all that, our spirit's still alive. And you'd be amazed, friends, you'd be amazed how many times when I go to visit people in nursing homes or hospitals, especially seniors who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, are still, in their mind, spiritually disqualified. They'll ask me questions like, Pastor, how do I know that I for sure got salvation? How do I know for sure that I'm good? And we have to go back to what we just talked about. That if you've exercised your faith, if you've exercised repentance, then your inheritance is secure and you're good to go. The guilt sometimes and the shame that comes along after that is that we felt like we should have done more. You know, that dash between the year you were born and the year you expire, that sometimes we talk about that dash at funerals. And it's like, well, it was it a life well lived? You know, and our goal, regardless if I'm 90, whether I'm 50, whether I'm 30 or I'm 16, the goal as a kingdom person is to live a Jesus-centered life. And that's what my goal is. And I'm not going to do that perfectly. But that should be the measuring stick. It should be what it's all about. And this is what it looks like. Jesus-centered people smile often. They're grateful for their life. They're youthful in spirit, even though their body is aged. They love always because they live from a place of the spirit, not from their physical self or the material world. This is part of that reborn. This is part of that spiritual transformation that takes place in our life. And this is what it should look like. And if your life doesn't look like this, then there's some work you can be doing. There's some things you can be doing to adjust so that your Jesus-centered life looks like that, because that's what it should look like. And it's and there's a lot of those people here in HUMC as well. And it's fun to be around that spirit, knowing the challenges that come with it, knowing it, watching it, with my own mother, my own aunts, and people in our own life, watching Susie's mom grow gracefully at 88 years old, still out doing things, still making things happen. Slow down, but her spirit's still on fire, still alive, and it's awesome to be a part of that. And so can yours be. Even though you can't do everything you used to do at the pace you used to do it, your spirit's still alive and will be till you close your eyes for the last time, till you take your last breath. Your spirit should be alive, and you should be tapping into that and living from that space, not the limitation this physical chassis puts on you. And asking God each day, what can I do to bring about your will in my life? You know, and maybe you can't go do a lot of things with your hands and your feet anymore, but you can definitely exercise the muscles in your face. You know, you can smile, you can make a phone call, you can send a text, you can FaceTime, you can email, you can do a lot of simple things that go a long way. Just think about the people you love the most, what you would give to just sit with them, hold their hand, look them in the eyes, smile, have a few laughs. Something really simple. That's what life's about, and that's what we should be hanging on to. And realize that until we close our eyes and take that last breath, God's got work for us to do. And it's not over. It's not over. Live by the Spirit and don't let the old self in. And the old self will bang on the door. You just got to know that's going to happen. The old self won't go away quietly. It will do everything it can. And the problem's going to center in our mind. And this is where confession, this is where your inner circle comes at hand. So you can talk about what's going on between your ears. You know, a better conversation sometimes is not, hey, brother, what's going on? Oh, it's good. Everything's fine. We're getting along okay. Slowing down a little bit. Just check the obituary. I'm not in it, so it's going to be a good day. I'm on this side of the earth. You know, the things that little cliches that we say sometimes. But a better question is how is your mind? How is your soul? How are you doing with all that? And then being able to have the honesty and the transparency to say, you know what, today I'm struggling with it. Whatever that struggle is, you know, because the struggle is real. And when you can share that, there's an old saying, a truth shared is halved. But when I can share that truth with my, what the limitations are causing, the friction it's causing between my ears, it takes away so much. And there's hope in that. And also we get reassurance from the people in our life that we still matter, that there's still work for us to do. So don't give up. My buddy, my buddy Lyle that I hunt with, you might have saw me post some pictures of Lyle's 83 years old. He's part Native American, and he's in better shape than any of the guys that I hunt with. And it drives me insane. He uses a climber to climb up the trees. When we go to the cafe at night to eat dinner after we've been hunting all day and we're all complaining about our arthritis and we're tired, Lyle will laugh at us and go, yeah, I used to feel that way when I was your age. You know, and he's 20 years older than we are. And so he's living from this space of not letting the old man in. That's pretty much his theme song. And so there's a great lesson there. It's not just the physical, but it's also in the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. We can't let the old person in because it will wear us out. It will discourage us, and ultimately we'll give up and we'll just quit. And we don't want to quit until God says he's done with us. And it's not God. It's not us doing it. It's just allowing God to work through us. Again, it's really important to know that. It's not me, because if I think it's about me, then I'm going to be too tired and the arthritis will discourage me and my limitations will discourage me. But if I know it's about me just being as prepared as I can, then God can work through me regardless of that physical chassis or the state of that chassis. God can still work through that and bless a lot of people. And God doesn't bring people together to only bless one of them. So we're all blessed by that. So with that, if you'll stand, we're going to pray and we're going to sing some more. If you're listening online or you're watching this after the fact, or if you're present and you have questions about today's message or questions about your own faith journey or anything in Scripture or whatever, right there's a great email. Shoot us an email. We'd love to have a conversation in person, through Zoom, email, text, whatever. We'd love to reach out to you and have and engage with you if you have questions about your faith. But with that, let's pray. And I'll invite the band. Band, you can come on up while I'm praying here. Lord, we just thank you for today's message. And we thank you for this Clint story and Toby's song. And together you made a pretty awesome collaboration. A great reminder that despite the seasons of life, the circles of life, the cycles of life, that we will experience illness, that we will experience aging. that it will limit our chassis. It will limit our ability to go at the rate of speed we used to go. But it doesn't diminish our spirit, only by choice. Or maybe we never lose sight of that. Maybe never get sad when we look in the mirror because we see an aged body that just doesn't go like it used to. Let us see the spirit. Let us see your breath that's still in us. Your purpose, that we are a channel all the way to the end, till we take our last breath, till we close our eyes for the final time. We are a channel, and all we want to do is be prepared for you to work through us. So prepare us, Lord. Give us the strength to be honest about our state of mind, our state of being. Help us to be willing to go to any lengths to share whatever it is we got, even if it's just a smile or a simple text. But never let us quit persevering. Never let us waver. Never let us get discouraged to the point that we don't do anything except sit around in apathy and feeling sorry for ourselves. Never let us drift into that abyss, Lord. Help us to stay focused. Help us stay committed one day at a time to being everything we can be, regardless of which season, to those around us, that you can use us in mighty ways. We pray all this in your Son's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hiltran United. Hiltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, where you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hiltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletins, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hiltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.